and I count it as a privilege to be here. And as the computer's coming into focus, just he wanted me to say a couple things about my conversion to Christianity. I was raised, I noticed there's a lot of Anglican churches here in Australia. Is that true? That's basically my background. I was raised Anglican. I was what you call an acolyte in the church, which basically means an altar boy. I had the entire service memorized. They gave me a award for perfect Sunday school attendance. I had the Ten Commandments memorized. And if you asked me at that time who my Savior was, I would basically say, I'm my Savior. And the reason I say that is because my best friend in high school, this would be about when I was 16 years of age, right in there, the spring of 1983, invited me to a home Bible study. And this home Bible study was taught by a church that was not connected to the Anglican church at all. So it was more of an evangelical, you know, Bible teaching type of church. And this fellow that led the study was teaching out of John 3. And you know about John 3, right? It's about the new birth. And I had heard all kinds of stuff in church, but I had never heard about this new birth or spiritual birth. And it has to do with Jesus and his dialogue with Nicodemus. And the fellow that was teaching it could see I was confused. And so he sort of took me aside. And he said, if you were to die, you know, tonight and stand before the gates of heaven, why should God let you in? And my answer went back to myself. Well, I have been a good person. I have been an acolyte in the church. I have a good Sunday school attendance record. And at that point, it was sort of explained to me that the gospel is not what we do for God. It's what God has done for us. And that's what really makes Christianity unique. Christianity is not us reaching up to God. It's God reaching down to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And we accept what He has done as a free gift. And so when that was presented to me, and I praise the Lord this happened, because I don't know where I'd be today if that hadn't have happened. I believed in Christ. I received what He had done for me as a free gift, and that's changed my whole spiritual outlook. So today I stand before God not based on what I've done, but I stand before God based on what He has done. And I stand before God not based on my self-righteousness, but Philippians 3:9, I stand before Him through His transferred righteousness that's come to me through Christ. And so I kind of shudder to think how many people out there in the religious world still think, you know, the way I once thought, that I'm right with God because of what I do, rather than I'm right with God because of what He has done for me. So that was a real pivotal point in my life. So that's a little bit about that background. Let's take our Bibles, if we could, and open them to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. And I'm so excited to be able to come and present at a conference like this amongst Bible prophecy lovers. Because when I discovered Bible prophecy as a new Christian, that's what really got me interested in the Bible, studying it in depth. And it's sort of interesting, the book of Revelation says that there's a blessing associated with the one who reads and heeds this book. Now, what is the blessing? It doesn't say, but I think that if you become a student of the book of Revelation, you have to become a student of the whole Bible. Because the book of Revelation has about 404 verses in it. 278 of those 404 verses are allusions to the Old Testament. So if you want to understand Revelation, you have to understand the Old Testament. You have to understand the rest of the New Testament. And so God kind of used prophecy as a tool, if you will, to get me interested in the whole counsel of the Word of God. So I think God uses prophecy that way strategically to get people interested in the whole or totality of the Scriptures. So sort of the way I've got these talks organized, I get the privilege of teaching 8 sessions. The first one tonight is the importance of Bible prophecy. And then tomorrow there'll be 4 sessions, and I'm going to have a chance in those 4 sessions to talk about the coming kingdom. You know, because our hope is not in all of these politicians to work out the world's problems. Amen to that. It's in the kingdom that's coming. And that's why we're people of hope. And then the 3 sessions I'll do on Sunday are going to relate to current events. So we'll be talking about anti-Semitism, apostasy, and world government. But tonight we're kind of doing an opening session. Does prophecy really matter? Should we be studying prophecy at all? And as I've been talking to different people here, just at this camp, I'm hearing all the reverberations from churches and so-called spiritual leaders saying, stay away from prophecy. Prophecy is confusing. Prophecy causes division. Have you heard things like that from people? Yes. And I'm trying to, tonight, in this opening session, to explain to you and us why prophecy is absolutely critical. But we're living in a time period when prophecy is under attack. It's under attack by various groups. One of them is what's called the Emergent Church. Have you heard of the Emergent Church? Okay. Here's a quote from an Emergent Church leader, Brian McLaren. He says, if Revelation were a blueprint of the distant future, it would have been unintelligible to John's original readers. In light of this, Revelation becomes a powerful book about the kingdom of God here and now, available to us all. So what he's saying is, don't worry about all that pie-in-the-sky future stuff. Let's build the kingdom now. And he sees prophecy as a distraction from current kingdom building. He goes on, and he says, an eschatology of abandonment, which is how I would characterize certain streams of the Left Behind approach. Now, Left Behind is Tim LaHaye's famous book, the Left Behind series, that sold and sold and sold. So he's critical of Tim LaHaye, and he's saying that approach has disastrous social consequences. Any project geared towards improving the world long-term is seen as unfaithful, since we're supposed to assume that the world is getting worse and worse. See, so if you have a view that the world is getting worse and worse, and it's just a matter of reading the newspaper to see that, right? And the only thing that's going to help us is Jesus returning and setting up His kingdom. You're viewed as the enemy today. He goes on and he says, the book of Revelation is an example of a popular literary genre of ancient Judaism known today as Jewish apocalyptic. Trying to read it without understanding its genre would be like watching Star Trek or some other science fiction show, thinking it was a historical documentary. Instead of being a book about the distant future, it becomes a way of talking about the challenges of the immediate present. See how these distorted messages are coming across? And what all of these quotes demonstrate, and I could show many of them, and I won't bore you with these because we want to focus on the Word of God and not the words of men. But all of these quotes are always derogatory towards the study of prophecy. People that study prophecy are kind of looked at as dangerous, fringe-type people. And it shouldn't be, because 27% of the Bible was prophetic at the time that it was written. 27% means over a quarter of the Bible is devoted to the subject of Bible prophecy. So when I run into pastors that say, I don't touch prophecy, or I won't teach prophecy, I basically say, oh, so you leave out 25% or more of the Bible.